Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. Have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at www.thepowerherbs.com. 1-2-3-2-2-9-3-6-6-3. Talk Live. I'm your resident herbalist, Wendy Wilson. We're here to empower you. That's what we're going to do. Magical engineer Frank and I have a great show, and thanks for joining us on the American Voice Radio Network. We're going to be talking about those RFID radio frequency chips in healthcare. Yep, and we're also going to be talking about maybe liver viruses and some other things in a quack report, but before we get to all that great stuff, big salute and semper fi to our righteous men and women in uniform. I'm lifting this nation up in prayer. Hope you are, too. I'm seeking the Lord's face, and I'm hitting the knees because time is of the essence. So today's devotional is in Matthew 13, verse 44, where we are encouraged to see that the Lord wants us to know the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden a field, in which when a man has found it, he hides the treasure, for it gives him joy. And then he goes and he sells all that he has. And he buys the field. Yeah. So that's what we have to do. Invest everything we have in the seeking the Lord's face and the kingdom of God, and you're gonna not ever regret that. Mind time, it grows short. So that is the way. And without further ado, let's do the quack report. All right, thanks, Frank. Okay, hand, foot, and mouth disease is spreading across the United States. Lots of outbreaks confirmed in 4 states. Outbreaks in Indiana, South Carolina, Tennessee, and Virginia. So this is a hand, foot, and mouth is a viral infection. Causes lesions around the hands, the mouth, and on your feet. Not usually very serious and life-threatening. The pathogen does enter the body typically through scratches on your skin. Adults with immune systems that are typically strong enough also can prevent the outbreak and the infection. So what is causing this outbreak? Well, according to Vaxpedia.org, they say scientific researchers have discovered that the infectious disease, hand, foot, and mouth disease, is vaccine-induced and is spread to others through the shedding of the polio vaccine. So they say the polio vaccine is contaminated with EV71 and EVD68 and other enteroviruses and Coxsackie viruses. And they're used in the manufacturing of the polio vaccine. And so when kids are given this vaccine, and by the way, kids are given this 3 times in the first year of their life, and then they're given it again at ages 4 and 6. So the bottom line is kids that get recently vaccinated with the polio vaccine shed off the hand, foot, disease to humans. Anybody that comes in contact with them, like baseball players that, you know, went to a kids camp, volunteered there. All right, moving along the quack report. People are confused about a lot of things on health, food, and nutrition. A lot of shifting attitudes out there. This is a survey by Nutrition Business. They surveyed over 2,000 consumers in Australia, Europe, and North America, and the results show that almost 80% are confused about health, food, and nutrition. They say the bulk of dietary advice exists online, and traditional sources of the information, like, you know, your health professionals, nutritionists, well, they're losing credibility, apparently. The survey participants admitted they would rather check online before they sought out a professional like that. So this fragmentation of the market makes it harder for food brands to generally engage their potential customers. So brands on the market try to stand out by emphasizing its natural, highlighting the nutritional value of their items. So people are just like, not believing the old shmoey commercials and stuff. They're digging for truth out there. Good for you. Last but not least in the quack report, dancing, going out and dancing, ballroom dancing especially, study shows prevents age-related decline better than traditional exercise. So as we get older, they say we can lose 10% of our muscle mass each year after the age of 40, and our brain starts to slow down a little bit. So as we get older, you know, these processes, you know, for a memory, thoughts, and ideas slow down too. The elderly often develop a lot of attention deficit span and memory issues. So this study said that dance exercise programs are more effective at preventing these age-related brain decline issues, especially in adults in their 60s and older. And they compared it to traditional exercise programs, and the dancing was better. So the learning of your dance moves, your dance steps, as well as the act of dancing itself, they says sharpens the memory and stimulates the brain. They said it stimulates the hippocampus of the brain, and that's part of the brain responsible for your balance, reflexes, learning, and memory. The other benefits from learning how to dance, it will ease your stiffness, prevent dementia, and also prevent depression. So get out there, take some ballroom dancing classes. If you want, you can get some CDs online, do that. I think it's fun. I think it's beneficial all the way around. So get out there and get jiggy with it. And that wraps the quack report.
That's all, folks.
Thank you, Frank. Okay, we're going to talk about the radio frequency chips that are in healthcare. You know, most people remember hearing about the tracking chips, you know, pet owners were using them to help find their lost pets. And then it was also promoted as an embedded chip in humans to store medical information. Remember that? While the field of radio chip technology in healthcare is exploding, scientists are experimenting with RF chips, you know, from building tiny little laboratories on chips or in using them also to transport medicine or stem cells inside the human body. So the concept leads itself really to endless possibilities, and they are being explored. So RF chips, often referred to as RFID chips, are included, of course, in some clothing items, some product packaging. Also, law enforcement is using them to track their evidence that is stored in their evidence lockers. So more retailers are also using chips in their products that they sell to deter theft and also to see when consumers are returning to their stores. So we live in a tracked world, and many believe that chips will replace a tangible currency in the form of embedded devices and also an attempt to reduce identity theft. See? So we're going to check this out. Let's look at the identifier, because over a decade ago, the FDA did approve the RFID chips as implants for humans to use as a means for identifying patients, you know, having healthcare records on it and so forth. You know, they said it was good for Alzheimer's patients and stuff like that. Now, in 2007, medical researchers wanted to make advancements in the area with caution due to the unknown consequences an implant would offer. So one scientist described his skepticism this way. This is Ben Adia. He's with the Children's Hospital's informatics program in Boston. He says, if such devices become widely deployed, they may provide an incentive for both well and ill-intentioned parties, end of quote. Well, I think what most people thought, that, you know, the stored information on these chips could be scanned by anyone with a device and get the information, you know, similar to a license plate scanner. Well, interestingly, the European Union countries, they use chips in the license plates on all the cars. Well, there are some new uses. Well, new to you anyway. Tufts University School of Engineering in March of this year reported the use of chips in dentistry. So the military have actually used such devices for some time, but now it has moved to the civilian area. So research from Tufts University highlighted the use of chips mounted onto your teeth as a way to monitor diabetic glucose levels. So the chips transmits information on sugar levels as well as what the person is eating, such as if they have alcohol intake. So the research is stating they intend to expand the use of these chips to in dentistry to track, you know, a patient's lifestyle through nutrients, chemicals, and even their mental state. So this device can receive and transmit waves of information wirelessly using mobile devices. So the foods that a person ingests can actually change the chemical sensors on the chip, such as if they had something salty or if they had alcohol, and that changes the spectrum on the radio frequency in varying intensities. So this research was published in the March 2018 Journal of Advanced Materials. Now, what about long-range chips? Yeah. Some people, you know, don't think anything about the chips, that they are limited in the use and their transmission. Well, Inter-University Microelectronics Center in Belgium has been working on long-range RFID wireless sensor nodes and logistics for smart devices and also for healthcare use and other uses since 2010. So transmitting and receiving data over long distances is within reach. And here is what one of their lead researcher technicians reported. This is from Bert Gezulik. He's with the Netherlands Host Center. He says, within our wireless autonomous sensor system, we aim to develop wireless sensor systems powered by energy harvested from the environment instead of using batteries, end of quote. So most people don't have a clue of the long-range applications of this technology and how it will impact their health. So according to the American Chemical Society, the electronics we have become familiar with in everyday life will be vanishing. They are going to be replaced with what they call nanomaterials. So nanomaterials are usually designed to be used in healthcare to dissolve like stitches do once they've accomplished their goal. So they can transport brain sensors and chips, and after they perform their task, they are supposed to dissolve. So according to the American Chemical Society, the scientists and the surgeons' toolbox for materials just became endless. Here is what John Rogers, PhD, University of Illinois, says. He says, we will be tracking health and sustainability issues simultaneously with biodegradable tools with a wide range of applications, end of quote. And Dr. Roger goes on to explain that the devices will have created can detect swelling and temperature changes, especially in the brain after injury, and then they simply disappear and go away. So this eliminates, he says, the risk of associated with other types of treatments were implanted with wires, the risk of infection and surgery. So they say this is less invasive. So what we know, so currently within your general healthcare, how are the tracking chips being used? Well, hospitals love using tracking chips, actually, and they're using them right now. Generally, they're using them for inventory supplies. You know, so they replace the counting inventory from patient gowns and tissue boxes, so it just makes it easier to keep up with inventory. They use it also to track their equipment, their surgical tools, to verify patient information, to locate patients, also to keep track of pharmacy drugs, and also they have chip tags they put on newborns, and also employees and security at the hospital wear badges with chips, and also their laundry, you know, bedding and towels, also all have chips in those garments and bedding. So here is a quote from Jim Harper. Now, he's an attorney, director of the Information and Policy Studies at Cato Institute. He says, you know, tracking a patient on a gurney is one thing. Following ordinary citizens around in their daily lives is another. This is very threatening to privacy, he says, end of quote. And then this is Mark Robodi. He's an editor, Information Week. He says, RFID technology goes beyond barcodes for goods. RFID offers automatic tracking and can be read at a distance, and you don't need line of sight, end of quote. Wow. So important to know that, isn't it? Don't need line of sight. Well, you know, chip tracking technology offers tremendous potential for control. So scientific medicine wants to use chips to track disease to its origin or infection, the infected person. So this is called trail of contact. So chip tracking can certainly help hospitals keep track of their stuff and their patients. But getting people to embrace this technology is the question. So if people won't volunteer to be chipped, they will be mandated to be in order to keep their health benefits or to buy goods. Therefore, with access to a clinic or hospital with computers, you're going to have immediate access. You know, if you walk in, if you're chipped and you go into a clinic or hospital, they're going to have immediate access and download your information from your chip if you're wearing one. So patient records, x-rays, recent global hospitalizations, medications are all going to be on that chip, along with other data like your address, your phone numbers, immediate family members and their contact information, your driver's license, any car ownership, bank accounts, health insurance, employer information, all your assets are all going to be on that chip because, you know, money answereth all things and the hospital wants to know how it's going to get paid. Now, one thing is for sure, as the cost of this technology becomes less expensive, the campaign for applying it in all facets of life is going to tick up. So currently healthcare is selling RFID tracking chips under the benefits of it improves our supply chain, patient safety, and also gives us quality assurance. So that's what they're telling people, healthcare industry is telling people why they're embracing this technology. Now, according to a 2013 Colorado State University report, They reported on the RFID chips within the healthcare industry, and they say the hospitals are using tracking chips. They estimate it's going to grow. The amount of technology that they're using to track things is going to grow in healthcare by 10 to 15% per year. That's their estimate. They say additionally, they say the use of chips in healthcare is strictly driven by financial pressure to gain competitive edges regardless of patient safety. So this means this makes really total sense to me because this is a sick care system exploiting patients. See, so according to the Colorado State University report, hospitals are implementing tracking chips to cut their overhead expenses in the areas of monitoring their employees and their interactions with patients to help them reduce employee staff and cut hours. Also to run the facility leaner and meaner, so fewer pieces of equipment necessary. Also to reduce liability and also improve hospital ratings for marketing purposes. So that's their incentive to chip everything. It's not to improve, you know, how they serve you. Well, let's look at the chip implants for just a second. You know, they've been around a while for now. You know, so they've had, I guess, would you say, Frank, they've had time to work out the bugs, you know, make sure the chips are, you know, not going to hurt you. Well, depending on who you talk to about the chip implants, you're going to get the pros and cons. Now in Sweden, oh my goodness, the Swedes, they have just, you know, just gone head over heels for this stuff. And they've gone almost all the way to chipping, no currency in their society. So if you go over there and you bring your money, it's no good. Okay. It's all electronic money there. They have over 3,000 Swedish residents that have volunteered to get microchipped. They got the chips in the palms of their hands. Okay. And you can't even buy a ticket to ride a public transport there. You have to use digital money or you wave your little chip implant over the device and you pay that way. However, there is no mandated legislation in Sweden regarding the use of chips. It's just the way it all went. People volunteered to go that way. So among the industries that are embracing chips, here's another one. The firearms manufacturers are embracing the chip technology. That's right, to cut down on weapon theft and the use of firearms, unauthorized use, they're going to contain this technology to read the chip of the gun owner, and that's only when it'll work, is if the gun owner is using it. So they say that children and criminals won't be able to use the guns, and they said it's safer. All right, now let's look at the health risk to chips. Let's just see how healthy they are. Well, according to some medical research, the RFID chips don't always stay where they're implanted, where they're supposed to stay. They can migrate in the body. And if scanners need to be right over the chips to read them, this could be a problem, you know, as the chip moves around. Other risks are it offers impulse electrical hazards, adverse tissue reactions, infection, and also offers incompatibility with other medical equipment like MRI or CT scans and x-rays. Also, the chips offer a negative interaction with other medical devices that have electromagnetic interference, such as defibrillators, you know, clear, you know, and shock you, your heart back. You can't have that if you got a chip. Also, there's studies from 1996 to 2007 showed 10% of the lab animals that got chipped developed cancer, malignant tumors. And it makes you more vulnerable to people with criminal intentions, you know, and want to steal your information. And also it takes away your privacy. Yeah. So the National Library of Medicine and Institutes of Health actually looked into the RFID chips for human use in 2007, and they declared their concerns. They said that there's ethical concerns regarding the use of such devices. You know, there has to be informed consent. There's privacy concerns, also accessibility concerns to the information. They said the transmission of the data, how is that going to go and how is that used? Also, disclosure to the patients on any possible unauthorized access to the data. Will patients be aware of those risks? And also, patients should decide what information gets stored on the disc and how it's going to be used. They also said the device should not be used to discriminate for loss of health care coverage. Ah, and also the chip can disclose the location of a wearer and maybe put them at risk of abuse. Think about that. You know, if you're like, a domestic violence survivor and you get chipped, could someone track you down? Maybe. So people will need to decide really for themselves if the benefits of the chip right at this point outweighs the risks. However, the financial and the healthcare industries are creeping in the direction to make it difficult to deny the use of such devices for daily living. I want you to be aware of this, okay? Real important. And it's always good to be aware of where the healthcare and the banking sectors are going. These will impact our health and our lives all the way around. So in the meantime, you want to stay as healthy as possible. Call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They have a product catalog they can send you free of charge. They specialize in the herbal organ cleansing, the immune boosting, the metabolic strengthening area. You give them a call toll-free in the U.S. and Canada at 866-229-3663. Get a catalog. They also have pandemic kits in there, things that will help you, tools you'll need. 866-229-3663. Of course, they have a website. Check them out online. It's thepowerherbs.com, thepowerherbs.com. That's where your healthcare options just became endless. And it's all about educating yourself and having options. And it's always good to have options. And, you know, ask questions. Definitely do that. You want to ask questions. So they're all about educating their consumers, so they're cool. ThePowerHerbs.com, Apothecary Herbs, 866-229-3663. If you're on their website, do sign up for the free online newsletters. Just click on the Books and Newsletters tab, and you can sign up there for free. Newsletters go out each week, and they will empower you with information. You can share that with family and friends if you like. And, of course, they do have two new formulas that are on their website. They highlighted it's the kidney stone formula and also the adrenal gland formula. So those are great metabolic formulas that you want to check out and get a free catalog. And you can check out for free. Newsletters and catalogs are free, so check them out when you can. You do have to have email for the newsletters. I say this all the time, but some people miss that part. They think we're snail mailing that newsletter, and we're not. So thepowerherbs.com, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs. All righty. So we're going to talk about liver viruses here. And then we got some other things we're going to talk about, too, after we cover our liver viruses, if we get time. So we're going to take a little break, and we come back. More empowering information. You're not going to get anywhere else. So we want you to stay right there. We'll be right back with more.
I can hear her heartbeat for 1,000 miles, and the heavens open up every time she smiles. And when I come to her, that's just where I belong. Yet I'm running to her like a river song. She gives me love, 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 crazy love. Gives me love, 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 crazy love. She's got a fine sense of humor when I'm feeling low down.
Pumping life into the original medicine. Herbalist Wendy Wilson will be right back.
Don't make the aspirin mistake. Aspirin was discovered by mistake during World War II and suppresses your immune system and prevents blood clotting. Don't expose your body to risk when you can use a natural inflammation and pain reliever called Extra Strength Pain Relief by Apothecary Herbs. Discover the power this formula has with salicin to enter the system in 60 seconds to work hard and relieve pain for 12 hours. Whether it's arthritis, sports injury, or flu, you can relieve aches, pain, and swelling with our Extra Strength Pain Relief formula. Call Apothecary Herbs now, toll-free, 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Thomas Edison invented the light bulb, Henry Ford the automobile, and herbalist Wendy Wilson? Well, discover for yourself. Listen to Herb Talk Live.
$22 million Americans manage sleep apnea instead of resolving it. Sleep apnea increases risk of heart disease, depression, and death. New research from Rutgers University states the thyroid manufactures hormones used as neurotransmitters to regulate breathing during sleep. This suggests the thyroid gland needs balancing to address sleep apnea. So forget the CPAP machine. Call Apothecary Herbs for their sleep apnea herb formulas to remove cellular stress and feed the thyroid the nutrition it needs for better sleep. Call now to order 866-229-3663. 866-229-3663 or online at thepowerherbs.com. Thepowerherbs.com. Money back guarantee with our organic professional strength formulas, because if you're serious about herbs, you need Apothecary Herbs.
Herb Talk Live has your HMO, herb medicine options, coming up next.
If you have a heart condition and emergency rooms and medical doctors are not an option, you need our emergency heart attack kit. 5 concentrated liquid formulas enter the system in 60 seconds to protect your heart muscle, strengthen heartbeat, increase circulation, relieve pain, and make breathing easier. When seconds count, you want all the help you can get with our emergency heart attack kit. Easy to use and portable in a 1-pound compact kit for your purse, briefcase, or car. Call Apothecary Herbs now for your emergency heart attack kit toll-free. 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Start to play, dance with me, make me sway. Like a lazy ocean hugs the shore, hold me close, sway me more. Like a flower bending in the breeze, bend with me, sway with ease. When you dance, you have a way with me, stay with me, sway with me. Other dancers may be on the floor, dear, but my eyes will see only you. Only you have that magic technique. When we sway, I go weak. I can hear the sound of violins long before it begins. Make me thrill as only you know how. Dancers may be on the floor.
Hey, that's Blue Blay. I like that guy. If you want to do some ballroom dancing, there you go. There's some music. Save that brain. Do some ballroom dancing and listen to Mike. All right, we are going to be talking about the liver viruses because there's lots of them. We got like 3.2 million Americans with very common liver viruses, you know, hepatitis C is one. And modern medicine has lots of drugs for the hepatitis viruses. And, of course, you know, it's only dealing with symptoms. It doesn't really get rid of the virus. All right, so in the past, not all of these drugs that they gave their patients really helped with the disease. And lately, there has been some new treatments where they combine a couple of drugs And some of the reports are saying there's great success, supposedly no side effects. So this new treatment is touting that it's also going to prevent liver failure and liver cancer. And also, it'll just wipe out the need for a liver transplant. So doctors feel this breakthrough drug is going to save patients lots of money down the road as well. So the question is, do we believe these reports from the drug companies on this new drug therapy? Let's check it out. All right, in 2014, the FDA approved the treatment for hepatitis C, and it was comprised of combining the drug Sovaldi with a new drug called Lipopreserver. And they call the drug together. The two drugs combined are called together as Harvani. So the clinical trials on this new drug said it cures the hepatitis in 3 months by 94%, you know, success. And the patients are also given a choice to, you know, either they can abandon their weekly shots of the interferon or and use this new drug, Harvani. So many flocked to this new drug expecting what they were saying the results were going to be. I'm going to be cured of my hepatitis C. I will not have to live with the flu-like symptoms and all the side effects of taking the interferon. Sure, let's try the Harvani is what patients were saying. And patients also found the symptoms of being sick while they were on the interferon. It made it very difficult for them to tolerate the treatment. So, and there was like a 50% success rate in getting rid of the hepatitis symptoms with that. So, however, the liver treatments are typically less effective if the liver gets scarred by disease, gets the cirrhosis. So how expensive is the new drug, Harvani? Well, according to the insurance, the treatment costs about $95,000 for a three-month course of treatment. Now, in most instances, pre-approval for the drug by your insurance company is required before the drug can be prescribed and administered. And there are significant restrictions. Insurance companies also know that the liver cancer chemotherapy treatments cost about $100,000 a year. So most of the insurance companies are approving the treatment. However, not everyone qualifies for this drug. For instance, patients may find it difficult to get qualified to try the drug if they're in stage 3 or 4 cirrhosis of the liver or if they have renal kidney damage. Well, let's look at how this drug is working. According to the medical science, the Harvani drug is known as a direct-acting antiviral agent, interferes with enzymes which the virus uses to sustain itself. So if a patient's blood work shows no signs of the virus in the blood work within 6 months after they finish their treatment, medicine declares them completely cured. And this is known as sustained virologic response. But it's not guaranteed. Medical science is aware that a small amount of the hepatitis C virus participants can remain in the system and replicate and then reinfect the patient within 6 to 12 months after the treatment stops. So scientific research has shown there's this relapse that happens in 1 out of 2 patients. So where's that 94% percentiles of success? Aha. And there are several drug combo treatments now in the marketplace, depending on the genotype of your hepatitis. So this is part of a new rebranding of healthcare that I talked about back in February 2016. So this new marketing really encompasses patient personalized compounded medicines with geometrics, gene mapping of the function, and then they use the patient's genetics, blood, and so forth to make the new medication. So I once watched an Oregon attorney on TV. I believe his name was Mike Arnold. He was representing this alleged murderer, Steve Wagner Nichols. And he said this, I'll never forget his quote. He said, "The best thing about science is you don't have to believe it." End of quote. This can kind of be taken two ways. Either science is perfect and flawless and you just rely on it and go with it, or science is not what it appears to be and you shouldn't trust it at all. It's unproven until it's proven. You know, I mean, come on. Well, let's look at side effects of the Harvani. What can patients expect? Common side effects that are listed are fatigue and headache. Dr. David Bernstein, he's a chief of hepatology, North Shore University Hospital in Manhasset, New York, states that Harvani can be taken with other medications with no drug interactions. Patients often see literature listing side effects of the old interferon treatments, such as flu-like symptoms, anemia, anxiety, sleep problems, compared to the short list on Harvani as, you know, maybe a headache and a little fatigue. So, yeah, they're going to go for that. Well, we have more than what we need. We have more than what we need here to basically tell us that Harvani is, you know, people are being guinea pigs. They're being tested on it. So I hope people do their homework. Actually, the side effects on Harvani are worse than what is reported. And before I run out of time to do my next topic, I want to tell people, you know, look at your options. Personally, if it were me, I would look at the herbs that support liver function, like milk thistle. And organ cleansing takes a lot of burden off these organs that work so hard. So you might want to check into those things. And the folks at Apothecary Herbs can send you some catalogs on that. There's a table of contents. You just flip to the organ cleansing section, and milk thistle is there. You can give a call at 866-229-3663 or visit them online at thepowerherbs.com. All right, we're going to talk about some fake science for just a few minutes, because most people are aware of the fake news on the media. And, you know, fake news is a term that's kind of overused now. And when authorities purposely promote lies, it creates a breakdown of trust, and it causes a lot of anxiety, and it leads to undesirable consequences. So we're going to take a look at some additional information that is surfacing with regard to information people are supposed to trust and rely on for their health and safety. A recent report of the Daily Caller said that it has become very common for government agencies to fabricate data in the name of science. So according to Mark Edwards, he's a professor at Virginia Tech, he says that the EPA and the CDC are doctoring scientific data to suit their agendas. So honest scientists are appalled at this rampant activity from these agencies, which is giving science a really bad name. Mark Edwards, he says this, quote, "What lies do upstream are the alarming implications for the future of science and the reasoning of Americans. The public is largely unaware that federal agencies often engage in fabricating scientific data to support their policies and cover up any evidence wherever they screw up. This activity is not limited to the EPA or the CDC," end of quote. So what Professor Edwards is saying is true and kind of frightening. It's a reality that medical science is also involved in a lot of this fraud, and medications are being manufactured and approved based on lies. So Deputy Inspector General Mary Kendra reported scientific misconduct on a broad scale at the U.S. Geological Survey Lab in Colorado. She stated that the data manipulation is happening there, and it's having far-reaching implications, and it's damaging the trust and integrity of the agency and the field of science. So Professor Edwards stated that fake science definitely comes into play when there are deceptive cover-ups. So in 2008, it was discovered that in a Georgia court that the EPA and the USDA engaged in fraudulent activity to cover up the deaths of cattle as a direct result of EPA and USDA policy. So the judge in the case wrote in his decision that the, quote, "EPA's opinions in the case have been thrown out as the agency's testimony could not be trusted," end of quote. Judge Anthony Almino, Southern District of Georgia, said that, and even more offensive is that after these agencies were caught lying, they refused to remove their bogus reports from the scientific record. So they publish no corrections or retractions, and they remain in the scientific literature for generations later on to believe this base policy that is affecting millions of people. Let's see. Well, the judge fell short there. Well, how bad is it? Well, some speculate that the corruption within the scientific communities is an example of isolated incidents, and it's not really widespread at all. Well, whistleblowers are coming out saying the opposite. Here is from Davis Lewis, research director of Focus Health Foundation. He says, in my experience, faking scientific data at federal agencies has become more the rule than the exception. The hidden rule is that the scientific data published by federal scientists must support federal policy to protect their agency and its reputation above all other concerns. Federal agencies will also defend scientists at universities who fudge the data, which they agree with. End of quote. Well, across what's going on outside the U.S., well, across the pond in the U.K., the British Medical Journal reported that if scientific data was going to be faked, it would most likely happen in the United States. This scathing report appeared in the Journal of Medical Ethics, November 2010. Now, according to their article, the researchers looked at scientific research that had to be withdrawn, which required to be expunged from the scientific record. They found between 2000 and 2010, 788 studies that had to be removed. Now, keep in mind that this was medical research that has already been published in medical journals, read by licensed medical physicians, physicians who may have acted on this information in treating their patients. So these errors were considered serious by the research team. So when I say serious, I mean fraud. No mistake about it. It was deliberate. It was faking the data. It was deliberate, willful. So other countries that also fake scientific medicine also involved the UK, India, Japan, South Korea, and China. China had 40 studies combined that needed to be And the U.S. takes the lead, though, with the fraudulent studies. So it was also cited that fraud was more likely to occur if the study was to be published in a leading publication. So the fact has, you know, it's coined the phrase within the medical research community. It's called impact factor. So if your research ends up to have an impact factor, it's considered maybe a peer review journal type of impact. It has a better probability that it's going to get published and considered serious amongst your peers, and you'll get accolades and more research funding and so forth, even if it's faked. So they also determined that 1 in 5 studies involving fake research was written by scientists who had propensity of manipulating data to suit their outcomes. So repeat offenders, basically, is what they're saying. And, you know, the Justice Department should act about on this, but, you know, they're not. Clinical studies have also, as many as 10 scientists have been sponsoring results by fake research, and it showed an average of 3 or more scientists. You know, these were repeating offenders in the study. So repeat offender scientists, so look what they are. They kept showing up on the fraudulent research, co-sponsoring, co-sponsoring, so forth. So the research team said that you also see this pattern of duplication, like it should be a red flag. You know, currently a retraction of a study is only punishment for fraud in scientific research. It's the only punishment for fraud, right? One researcher put it this way. This is Grant Steen, Journal of Medical Ethics, November 2010. He says, scientific fraud is a very blunt instrument used for offenses which have gravely serious consequences, I'll say. So if you think that the scientific community is safe, is a safe bet for research when it comes to environment concerns, environmental concerns, economics, health, you might want to take another look. Here are some respected scientists. They've said this about their own industries. This is Rufus Chaney, PhD, USDA. He says, faking the data is permissible as long as the data is in general agreement with previous patterns established in hundreds of papers. You know? And then David Lewis, researcher, director of Focus Health Foundation, says, when I worked at the EPA at the University of Georgia, I conducted studies, and my research revealed that there were problems with decades of government-funded research, end of quote. So this same thinking really is, you know, on Capitol Hill, in the halls of medicine, where we see clinical studies which have been altered or the wrong cell lines were used, but the world got it. It was published anyway, and many times over. And scientists for decades picked up that, you know, previous research and then based their research on it. So the thinking is you must be accurate in research, right? But they're faking it. They're faking it for decades. Studies upon studies, duplicated data after duplicated data. Our founding fathers must have dealt with such corruptible people to have inspired the following statement. Benjamin Franklin said, half the truth is still a whole lie. Amen, Ben. Well, every man has his price. And there is a price tag. Corporations will pay officials to look the other way and skew the data, such as in important areas as wastewater pollution, you know, from water treatment plants or power plants. EMF emissions, your dirty electricity from cell phones and smart meters. Educational institutions, your public schools, banking and finance, military and law enforcement, environmental regulations, as well as politicians, health and medical research, your National Institute of Health, NIH. Well, I know we're pointing a lot of fingers here because the National Institute of Health really blamed the flood of substandard medicines for pandemic treatments for like things like malaria and TB and other diseases on everything but the truth. They stated technology problems, quality control by foreign suppliers, but not the fact that the drugs were being produced based on fake research. So the failure rate of these pandemic-like drugs were reported to have a 41% failure rate as stated in the April 2015 American Journal for Topical Medicine and Hygiene, or Tropical Medicine and Hygiene. So you are probably wondering where the EPA oversight is on this, or the FDA, the FDA oversight. Well, the FDA has no involvement in research. They don't approve medications for use based on research that they provide, okay? They take the research given to them by the drug companies and make a decision on it. So changing protocol on imported foreign drugs to fix this outcome isn't going to get there. You got to go to the base root problem. We should be asking, what do you expect when falsified medical research is presented, approved, and treatments are made based on it? What are you expecting? This is why you got disease management in healthcare. It's kind of ingrained in our corporate world. And the Journal of the Emergency Medicine published some findings. They had a medical survey in 2015. U.S. physicians were asked if they over-treat their patients, and the results showed 85% of doctors will over-treat with medicines and tests to avoid lawsuits. They're worried about being sued. So the risk of over-treatment is higher in hospital emergency rooms by 97%. The top reasons were, I want to avoid a malpractice lawsuit and lack of knowledge and judgment on the physician's part. In other words, he's a newbie. Yeah. So another example, when a certain patient investigates his prescribed medications to find out the doctor had him on maybe three different vasodilators, all to dilate blood vessels and all with similar side effects. No one wants to challenge their doctor's decisions, but in the age of fake science, you're going to have to. I think it's a necessity. We better, you know, get a backbone. Senior citizens should look at all the drugs prescribed to them. And if you don't have a computer to look them up on the internet, you can look up your medications at the public library in a physician's desk reference book. It's called a PDR. And this stores all the information on all the drugs and all the side effects, not just the top 10 most common side effects. So you can get a real glimpse of what you're dealing with. So the next time you feel intimidated by your health professional, remember these statements that I'm going to read you from physicians. This is from Dr. Herbert Snow, senior surgeon, Cancer Hospital, London, UK, says inoculations or vaccinations are well known to cause grave and permanent disease of the heart. The coroner always hushes it up with natural causes, end of quote. And this is from W.B. Clark, M.D., Great Britain, 1975. He authored a book called The Drug Story. He said cancer was practically unknown until cowpox vaccination began to be introduced. And I never saw a case of cancer in an unvaccinated person, end of quote. And this is from J.M. Peebles, a medical doctor in San Diego. He says the vaccination practice pushes to the front of the medical profession and through political conveniences made compulsory by the government has become the chief menace and greatest danger to health for the rising generation and the outrage upon personal liberty and the American citizen, end of quote. And lastly, Dr. Harry Baby, he's Norfolk, Virginia. He said, my honest opinion is that vaccination is the cause of more disease and suffering than anything I could name. I believe that such disease as cancer and many other diseases are the direct result of vaccination. Yet the state compels parents to submit their children to this procedure while the medical profession receives payment for this unwanted service, but also makes huge profits from the future patients. Oh, yeah, the fallout. They make a lot. Yeah, it keeps the medical industry churning. When you infect people with disease, they're going to have disease and they'll be patients for life. See, that's how that's working. That's their business model. That's the business model. So how are we going to change this? It's such a big mountain to climb, you know? Well, if it were me thinking about it, I'd pray. And I do what I could personally do and ask God to help me magnify it, make it great in his eyes, do the purpose he needs it to do. Because, you know, he's got to be sitting on his throne. And if everything I just said to you is true, which I believe in my heart it is, he's got to be really upset. He's got to be grieving over this. Well, our Creator knew that we would have diseases not listed in the Bible, and it states such in Deuteronomy 28:61. Remember when Moses was saying to Israel after the Exodus, you know, if you obey God and the laws, you'll be blessed, and if you sin, you'll have curses, and he lists all the curses. He says, you're afraid of the plagues of Egypt, but you're going to have diseases not listed in this book. And this is what we have. Yeah. So I believe God has made available these medicinal herbs to help strengthen and detoxify our bodies. And I think so. You know, God, he created man. He knows the nature of man. He knows it's corruptible and that we're going to need his protection. So one, on a metabolic level, you can help the body heal itself if you take away the poisons and you put in the nutrition that take away the poisons that are curing that are causing the disease and put in the nutrition to help the body fight it off. And so that's what your immune boosting, organ cleansing, and metabolic strengthening herbs do. And so when you get the toxins out and put the nutrition in, you got most healthcare problems taken care of. So call the folks at Apothecary Herbs. They'll send you a free product catalog, and you can do this and take the power back. 866-229-3663, thepowerherbs.com. 866-229-3663. And I'm out of time, so the information presented is not intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure disease. So seek medical advice from a licensed medical doctor if you care before you use any product or therapy. I'm Herbalist Wendy Wilson. Till next time, be well.